なんと美しい朝。
Yeah, whatever you said.
おはようございます。
Yeah.
ようこそ、ポッドキャストは決してあなたを助けません。どういたしましてですか、リサ。
Yeah, yes, hi, hello, this is great. Hi, welcome one, welcome all to our podcast. Podcasts will never help you. We're taking a turn. We are veering away from our usual pop culture coverage, and we are actually just going to turn into a, we're actually lifestyle bloggers now. We divested ourselves of everything that we had. And we kind of just bought some plane tickets, and we hopped on the red eye to Osaka. And we are just going to kind of cover our exploits in the land of the rising sun.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for yes-ending me. Hey, everybody. It's English now. That was my first April Fool's gag of the episode. I hope everybody enjoyed it. First of many.
You have the unfortunate experience of hearing us record on April Fools, so of course, this is how well, it won't come out
on April Fools.
No, it won't go out on April Fools, but it's a belated gag. That's the best kind of gag.
Yeah, and it's not like we can like give you a
control ourselves
to a podcast or that.
Want to live stream our podcast recording? That'd be great.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do like a Facebook Live thing where we dress up all funny, like Twitch streamers.
That'll get the hits coming. What would you dress up as?
I don't have any good. Oh, you know what I have that I've literally never. Two or three or maybe even four Halloweens ago, I bought myself a Starfleet jumper, like a Captain Kirk command jumper, and I've literally never deployed it.
And now you get to.
I would love to just have that and then sit in the chair and, you know, act like I'm giving orders.
Uh-huh.
Like sign clipboards and stuff.
Uh-huh. Because
that's what they would do on the show.
Uh-huh.
That's what I would do.
That's a good one. I'd be Elvira. Easy.
That's
answer.
Very good.
Easy.
So thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for handling the intro.
Do you want to actually intro the podcast? For anybody who actually...
No, you did a great job.
No, because...
you yes-anded the shit out of that.
But they don't know our names, Juan.
I said your name.
Oh, you did?
I don't know if you heard it. Doiteshimaste, Scabisa.
Oh, you did say that.
Yeah.
All right, well, regardless, I'm Scabby, you're Juan. Let's go.
My name is Kenpachi Ramasama.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Podcast Will Never Help You.
So do you wanna go ahead and talk about No Man's Sky maybe?
Yes, I'm excited.
That's the first time that anybody has ever been excited for No Man's Sky.
Literally ever. Fucking what's this guy's name?
Sean Murray.
Yeah, Sean Murray. Sean Murray hasn't even fucking said that.
No.
Sean Murray's just been busy sort of hiding out.
I'm redacted favela. About No Man's Sky.
But anyway, there was recently a big announcement, very exciting, and very on brand for this podcast, because it's very much something that fucking nobody is talking about, ever.
I think so, because I haven't heard a word about this. On the podcast note, it comes up as No Man's Sky, N-E-X-T, next. I can only surmise that this is No Man's Sky's dating sim expansion.
I was hoping we could talk about that, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's literally the name of... It's their new, like, next big update. And they literally did call it No Man's Sky Next. That's not me editorializing at all.
So, have they added the next bus to the to the list of available
the
vehicles?
The next bus is the new spaceship. Mm-hmm. It's a freighter class. It can hold 20
unfortunate
disaffected
beings.
White guys.
There you go.
Yeah. And those are really, really valuable if you can sell them as resources.
Good resources,
Anyway, No Man's Sky Next is the new big update to No Man's Sky. It's going to be... There's a lot of things happening. The most important thing is that it's finally coming to the Xbox Marketplace, which I guess whoop-de-doo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that crowd was like crying out for a good, boring sort of resource management sim. I mean, they also
they're
sort
drowning
of
in
Minecraft,
them.
I feel. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But there's some, like, fun speculation on... Because if you look at the logo for... They have a logo for this update. And the part that says next
mm-hmm.
has sort of a reflective thing underneath it that makes the letters sort of, you know, mirror on the bottom of them. In the little, between the legs of the X, there's a little dot, and that sort of draws your eye to that area, and the mirrored X sort of forms the beginning of a V underneath it. This is literally the exact same. This is how we found out that Metal Gear Solid 5 was happening.
Is this some sort of long-winded bit where the punchline is that, like, Sean Murray is a member of the Illuminati?
That is what it is, basically. Okay. Except I didn't have the wherewithal to actually make that punchline up, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm, you're welcome.
That's why I keep you around.
Yeah. Illuminati punchlines.
It draws your eye to that sort of V shape under the X, and now people are saying, oh, No Man's Sky is going to have VR support, finally.
Is that it, though?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole... I mean, that's the big area of speculation, because nobody cares otherwise. Like, this game... Okay, this game, it was bad at launch, mm-hmm. and I didn't play it, and nobody played it, and people asked for refunds everywhere, and I don't know... Sean Murray must have literally sold the shirt off his back. He must have sold his MeUndies modal underwear, every pair he had, just to, like... stop Hello Game from becoming bankrupt.
After the ones with the front flap and back flap.
Yeah. The deluxe. Now, if you go into it now, at whatever price it's at, I think it's like $30 or $40, it's pretty good.
That's what,
like,
I hear.
Yeah, it's super deep and super satisfying, and it's like, the graphics are great, and the world, the procedural world generation is fantastic. It is... almost what they were promising at launch. But now...
So it came out of early access.
Yeah, it finally came out of fucking beta. But now it's like, okay, so it's now a decent game, but, like, nobody's really paying attention to it. And I don't think... It's such a weird thing to add into this game, is VR support. Because, like, I get it. It's a first-person game. Like, I see what you were going for.
I don't want that, though. Like, you really want to, like, play, like, a long-ass session of No Man's Sky with a VR headset strapped to your head?
That's the thing of it. That's the thing of it. It's that it's such a long fucking game. And it's not, like, Elite Dangerous or something, which is... That's a pretty good thing to do VR in, because almost all the time, a much greater percentage of your time is spent doing awesome loop-de-loops and dogfights and stuff. In No Man's Sky...
It's like 1%.
Yeah, and, like, the other 99%, it's you pointing your shitty gun at a rock and going bzzz until your controller vibrates so much that it hurts you and you have to stop for a couple seconds, and then you keep going.
But the numbers go up.
Yeah, just watch those numbers go up. And it's like, I don't know. I'm not...
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think that VR experiences have to... Until the technology gets to the point where it's actually comfortable for the user, they really have to be kind of concise experiences, jump in, jump out kind of things. I don't think we're quite there yet for, like, immersive bullshit where you can just kind of sink hours and hours and hours into it and you, like, take off your headset and it's fucking 12 a.m.
Not only that, but it needs to become more affordable, like, right now. Have you seen Did you see the news about the new Vive? The new Vive Pro, it's a new headset. It's got, like, double resolution and a couple of extra new sensors and shit and, like, integrated headphones. It's, like, it's a incremental upgrade. The headset alone, with no base stations, no controllers, no nothing, costs...
10 Valyrian steel knives.
800 American USD.
Just basically 10 Valyrian steel.
It's basically 10 Valyrian steel knives. And if you want to get, like, all the stuff... Like, all the stuff that you need, you know, to use the machine that you just spent $800 on, it's in total $1,250.
Chump change.
And that's not counting the price of a, like, pray to God you already have a computer with a decent graphics card. And by decent, I mean high-end.
Chuck. I got this, baby. Catch me with my new VR headset next week. Ain't no thing.
I'm still salty about that.
I'd be too. Well, I haven't played Dragon Ball FighterZ in a hot minute, because my mind is fucky like that, and once I stop paying attention to something, it's really hard to pay attention to it, to resume paying attention to it, mm-hmm. because I'm the worst. Nice. But I was aware of the fact that the new DLC for the season pass for Dragon Ball FighterZ They released the first two characters this week, and I realized that I haven't talked about Fighters at all on this podcast. It's a very good fighting game. Dragon Ball Fighters is the first good Dragon Ball Z game.
You're incorrect.
Look, we've had good Dragon Ball games. I'm not gonna lie, they've been good ones. Xenoverse is a good game, but okay, this is the first one that we can kind of like hold up and like say like this is the GOTY. Is this game of the year? Maybe. It's because it's really good. It's a really, really damn good game.
So you're saying good for a Dragon Ball game, but just good.
Good, yeah, exactly. It's not just good for a Dragon Ball game. It is a good game.
I don't know, man. Budokai 3 was goaty for me when I played it.
Try going back to that, is all I'll say.
I can't. I don't have a PlayStation. You know I can't do that. You know that.
Do I have to go through the emulation spiel again? Or
no.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, Dragon Ball Fighters is really good. However, the season one DLC, the leak, at least the, because we've known more or less what the DLC fighters are going to be for a couple of, I mean, I want to say like months, mm-hmm. or at least a month now. And ever since the list was leaked, everybody was completely underwhelmed. But they finally released some trailers and stuff for the first two characters, and they released them this week. Let's see. Who do you think they added to Dragon Ball Fighters? I'll tell you if they're already in.
Oh boy, yeah. Well, I'm gonna try. Okay, I've been like racking my brain trying to think of people. Okay, first pair, Chi Chi.
No.
And Mr. Popo.
No.
No.
Wrong. Okay. Both excellent choices, except for maybe some colorization issues that we'd have to address. But both would be better than the ones that we got, which is saying something, considering okay, you chose Mr. Popo. But give it another step.
Yeah. Okay. Master Roshi and Dende.
Nope.
Neither one.
And
I actually thought Master Roshi was a good guess.
Yeah, so did everyone else on the internet. No cigar.
Okay.
Who is the two Z warriors? Actually, no, neither of them are Z warriors. The two fighters that they added
fighters
are fucking legendary Super Saiyan Broly.
Oh.
And father of all Saiyans, Bardock.
Wait, were those not already in the game?
No, they weren't in the game. Listen, one of them isn't canon.
Yeah.
And the other one is barely canon. So you tell me why we should be surprised about their non-inclusion from the get-go.
I mean, isn't it like...
Here's the thing,
Do other Dragon Ball games do this? Where they just put in, like, oh, do you remember this guy from, like, Crisis on Infinite Earths Dragon Ball Z OVA 15 that only came out in a gas station in Osaka?
Well, here's the thing. This is the first... I guess this is one of the first, because Xenoverse also did this. They finally had a game that was popular enough with people where they could kind of, like, nickel and dime them for more content. Because Xenoverse 2 also had that.
Yeah.
Like, they kept adding more, like, DLC fighters piecemeal, bit by bit. But before this kind of Dragon Ball Renaissance, the only selling point that Dragon Ball games had was, we have this many fighters in this game now. You can finally play as Dodoria in Dragon Ball Tenkaichi 3. Shit.
Why didn't I say Dodoria? That's fucking hilarious. I have the Dodoria beam in my loadout right now in Xenoverse 2.
You do?
It's a good move. It's very practical. No, it's yellow, but it goes real fast. It's good for stun locking.
You and your Xenoverse pro tips. Anyways, that was the selling point. Like, they just crammed in everybody. Like boy howdy, you could be PyCon. everybody loves PyCon.
Have you ever been able to play as Chiaotzu? I just thought of that.
Yeah, I think so. I think you've been able to play as Chiaotzu.
Oh shit.
I wanna say you have been. I don't know which game you were able to play as Chiaotzu, but I'm sure that there has to be a game where you can play as Chiaotzu.
Chiaotzu!
Are you looking for whether or not we've been able to play as Chiaotzu in a video
game? UltraDragonBall.wikia.com. category page. Great. Video games where Chaozu is playable.
Awesome. I want to say probably the MMO, like the Dragon Ball MMO that was never released.
Oh, get a look at this. Looks like Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3.
And that's why. Well, no, you said Budokai 3. Budokai Tenkaichi and Budokai are different.
I was hoping
games.
You wouldn't catch that. I did say
Budokai. Fact check.
But he's also in Dragon Ball Z Tenkaichi Tag Team, Raging Blast 2, Dragon Ball Heroes, which I don't even know what that is.
The hits. Well, I think Dragon Ball Heroes is the MMO. Like, that's the MMO that never came stateside, I think. Fun fact, did you know that in Dragon Ball Heroes, apparently, like, they give Super Saiyan 3 to everyone? Like, I think there's a Super... Like, I think there's, like, a Super Saiyan, like, Nappa and a Super Saiyan Raditz.
Super Saiyan Nappa! Does he grow hair?
I don't know, is the thing. I don't know if he grows hair or, like...
That's funny.
Or, like, does his tail go
blonde? Yeah, does his tail go blonde?
I don't know. But I think that's a thing. I heard that. I don't know if that's true, though.
Holy shit. I'm obsessed with the idea of, like, Nappa with deep teal eyes.
Or, like, Nappa with a perm.
He looks like Bob Ross.
Anyways, I'm just really disappointed with this bullshit. And I could see it coming from a mile away, because ultimately, like... Bandai Namco are the people who are more responsible for handling the license itself, since they, you know, they have the license to make video games about Dragon Ball. Mm-hmm. So they probably have last say on who gets to go on the video game that they're publishing.
Yeah.
So fuck them, because I'm sure that Arxis would have, like, put Launch and Chi-Chi in as DLC characters way before these two lame duck assholes, Bardock and Broly. Like, Broly is literally, like, the Linkin Park era of Dragon Ball Z. Like, I don't know how your first instinct wouldn't be to, like, leave him behind in the desert of anime AMVs that he belongs in for eternity. Like, I don't know why you would dredge that up. I don't know why you would not pretend that never happened and that Dragon Ball is good again. But here we are.
He's definitely the Fred Durst of the DBZ universe.
That's exactly it.
That is disappointing. I mean, it's disappointing, but at the same time, I can see why it, like... I can see
the
why
fans
they
are
would
idiots.
Be indiv- exactly. Yeah.
Because here's the rest of season one. Let me look it up real quick just to make sure that I'm not wrong. But, like, the rest of season one is just as disappointing as these two first characters. Supposedly the rumored list for season one of Dragon Ball FighterZ DLC is Broly, Bardock, Vegito, Cooler, Android 17, Base Goku, Base Vegeta, and a character that you're not aware of yet, because you haven't gotten to that arc in Super.
Base Goku, as in Goku, but he's got a grill and he drinks a lot of lean?
You know, there's actually a surprising amount of, like, fan edits of, like, robo-tripping Goku, I guess. There's, like, a lot. I don't know why that's a thing, but it's a thing.
I mean, you don't need to know why. It's funny.
It's pretty funny. That's a fucking lame-ass list right there. That is, like, a list that you'd get if you asked, like me in the fifth grade.
Yeah,
which is bad.
If you asked the middle school, like, who are the strongest dudes, and you would go by, like, number of no cells and pec size.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And, like, oh god, I just fucking hate it. And, like, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 Saiyans.
Yeah.
Like, I think at this point you could, once they add in Base Goku, I don't think you'd be too far. Like, I don't know if you know about FighterZ, but FighterZ is a 3-on-3 fighting game. I'm pretty sure that if we went one step further, you'd probably be able to have a team of 3 Gokus against another team of Gokus at this point.
Oh my god, I would love that. That'd be so funny.
Fuck this shit. And, like, here's the thing though, like, I'm not entirely
wait super quick Goku only Final Destination, there
you go. No items, no Dragon Balls. I'm not entirely opposed to the idea of Base Goku and Base Vegeta, because I guess you could mine some moves out of them. I guess they had to make Base Vegeta very short. That's my condition for this. like very, very short, very bratty.
They did make him like a little taller.
Oh yeah, he like it's documented. He grew throughout the course of Dragon Ball.
Cowards.
Cowards, absolute cowards. Have a short protagonist for the love of God. Anyways, that's disappointing. Like, I want weird ass characters, man. Just give me like some weird ass fucking shit. There are so many like a rich, rich history to mine from. Instead of like,
you get Dende, you get Mr. Popo,
Nail.
Nail is super cool.
Like, I wanted the Garlic Junior trio. I wanted Garlic and the dog. I think his name is Shu.
Yeah. Can you get little, like, oh, I would get a DLC pack that's just the smaller versions of, like, major protagonists throughout the series. So, like, Cybermen, Baby Booze, Cell Juniors. There's a lot of those, huh?
Baby Boo is already in.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Kid Boo, I guess. Not Baby Boo.
No, not, I would say,
are you talking about?
I'm talking about. I'm not talking about Kid Boo. The fat
Are you
ones.
Talking about, like, GT?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What are you doing, Juan?
Well, it's little ones. It has to be all little guys.
All right, so you want to move on from video games onto something else?
Let's get out of this thorny brush.
All right, we're moving on to movies, baby.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I've never been more excited to go to the movies with you because you are going to bring us such a gift today. I saw this trailer, what was it, like 3, maybe 4 months ago when it first dropped, and I thought I was dreaming. It definitely felt like a dream. I was watching it, I had gotten to work early that day, like super early, and I didn't actually want to walk in because I was like, I'm not getting paid to walk in here early. So instead I went down the street to a coffee shop. And I sat down in a coffee shop and ordered a croissant and just sort of sat there browsing Reddit. And I was like, hey.
Listening to I Am a God.
Yeah. the new trailer, Reddit said. New trailer for the new Tommy Wiseau. And in that moment, I immediately entered like a fugue state where the new trailer from Tommy Wiseau was a phrase that anybody on the internet could
like,
say.
Like, they set the croissant in front of you and you, like, didn't touch it for an hour.
I looked at the croissant again and it turned into Tommy Wiseau's face. Anyway, tell me about Best Fiends.
Alright, so best F parentheses, open parentheses, R, close parentheses, ends, Best Friends / Best Fiends.
Best Fiends. When you were reading science textbooks out loud in fifth grade, when the teacher asked you to read the science textbooks out loud, did you read what was in the parentheses? Fucking no.
It's I guess, Best Fiends. Right. And we follow the scientific method when talking about Tommy Wiseau.
Goddamn right.
It's the only light that we have to guide us through this endless night.
Magnets.
Anyway, so yes, it's the hot new Tommy Wiseau joint, but here's the thing. I feel like we're mischaracterizing the movie when we talk about it like that, because ultimately, Tommy Wiseau didn't, like, he's only an actor in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He didn't direct it, he didn't write it.
Dude.
This is not the spiritual
successor. You can
tell
immediately, because, like, the trailer is, like, a normal trailer with, like, a real DP and, like, a real writer.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing that I actually didn't know about that before watching the movie, and, like, I was watching the movie expecting, like, you know, your signature Lifetime movie... Twin Peaks dissonance, where like, and it, like, not to say that David Lynch is on par with Tommy Wiseau, I mean that like it is like normal life filtered through the eyes of a madman.
Yeah.
But I and here's the thing, the movie is not, I don't want to lead anyone on, the movie is not like a good looking movie by any means, but there were scenes where I was like, okay, so this makes sense in terms of like composition and cinematography. Some of it looks excruciatingly awful in terms of lighting. Like, there are some shots that you go like, what happened? Who's shooting this now? Like, it honestly felt like it was like vacillating between two different like cinematographers at points. Like, there were points where it felt like competently shot, and other points where it was like, this looks like a YouTube channel.
I'm so sure that at some point, like, Tommy Wiseau must have, like, yelled at a cinematographer or
how you do it. This is how you do it. I am directing this scene.
The light, you cannot see my face. It's not bright enough.
I need to be able to see my emotions.
Can we do, okay, second April Fool's prank. We both speak in a tongue. It was so voice no matter what
for
we
the
say
rest,
for the next.
For the rest of the...
No, I, for just I don't a couple think, minutes.
For the next couple of minutes? I don't think I can do that. I can't keep that up.
Yeah, me neither.
So, like, it's right off the bat, that is extremely, like, jarring. Also jarring, we actually came into the movies 5 minutes late. And the first scene that we saw, and we had no idea whether we went into this movie completely blind.
How did you avoid this?
I mean, I just didn't see trailers for. I knew Tommy Wiseau was in it. I didn't know anything
else
about it.
How did fucking Keanu Reeves in The Matrix dodge all the indie publicity, all the buzz around this?
I don't know. I try to avoid people taking advantage of, like...
Were you doing a Tommy Wiseau voice just then? Like, I don't know.
I try to avoid people, like, taking advantage of, like, a little bit of fame to, like, put some more, like, get some more eyes on a project that they have, and that's very much what it seemed like Tommy Wiseau was doing with this particular thing, where, like, hey, I know you all want to see my movie, right? You all like The Room. Here's another movie I'm in. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very good. It's very good. Yeah. Anyway, the first scene that we stumbled into blindly was Greg Sestero's and Tommy Wiseau in a morgue. Greg Sestero's wearing a bloodstained shirt, and Tommy Wiseau looking surprisingly human in a pair of he's wearing a pair of glasses instead of his signature cyberpunk wraparounds, and he's emoting, and like there's this weird droning soundtrack that is like somewhat ominous going through this scene, and it's extremely disorienting. And right off the bat,
composed by Daniel Platzman of Imagine Dragons.
Oh, there you go.
Does that make sense? Does that come through?
It makes entire sense, because throughout the entire fucking movie, I'm like, what is going on in this soundtrack? And it is mixed entirely too high, to the point where, like, it drowns out people who are trying to have dialogue. To the point where, like, you wonder if the director was like, you know, it's kind of hard to understand Tommy Wiseau in this scene. Maybe just crank the soundtrack up, because this is a gimme. Like, this is just, we're gonna have to take a mulligan on this.
Crank it up. We'll ADR his shit in later.
Yeah. Just get a Tommy Wiseau impersonator. There's like a million of them. Yeah, that was extremely distracting, and right off the bat, an extremely weird first impression from the movie, because I thought it was just... I thought it was going to be not a biopic by any means, but I thought it was going to like chronicle like Greg Sestero's and Tommy Wiseau's like fallout from the Room, I guess.
It came about as the result of literally the Disaster Artist, the book came out. Greg felt sympathetic towards Tommy Wiseau after seeing his words writ large on the film, on the screen. He really felt the pathos that James Franco was bringing to the table, and he decided to create a film for the two of them to star in.
God.
In order to like console Tommy.
God. Yeah, well, I mean, hey,
that's documented.
They did it. They did that. I did not expect whatever it is that we got. The movie kind of bills itself as a surreal, surreal slash crime slash drama thing, and I guess it's that.
Does it have an ending?
Here's the wild. No, you know what? Let me save that. I'm gonna save the ending bit, because that is when that is when my week was turned entirely upside down. I watched this movie on a Friday, and it still felt like my week was based entirely around this happening. Like, this was the starting point of my week. Is just how wild the ending is, and I feel bad giving them credit for that, because this movie deserves no credit for anything. One of the best and one of the most, I think one of the things that'll be glossed over the most is that Tommy Wiseau operates a morgue, basically. Like, he makes people pretty when they die. He gives them new faces.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the first interactions that they have is Tommy Wiseau giving Greg Sestero's character a mold of his face.
Oh.
Yeah, it's very good.
Boy.
But, yeah. You know, I just gave it to you because here's the thing. It's a joke. It's a gift. Just take it.
That's a power move. if you're making new friends.
And you keep waiting for like a thing to happen with it's a good red hair. It's like Chekhov's fake face, because like you keep waiting for like something to come to happen,
for some Silence of the Lambs shit.
Yeah, just like. And like no, that never happens. There's no Mission Impossible twist where it's revealed that Tommy Wiseau was wearing Greg Sestero's face the entire time.
Tom Cruise was wearing Greg Sestero makeup the whole time.
What a get!
Like in Tropic Thunder, where like nobody could figure out it was him until the credits.
What a get! It's exactly like that. Anyways, so he operates that morgue, and the entire so he does it to make people happy. Like his character motivation is that like he wants to make people happy. And he doesn't care about, like, what the man says about his morgue. Which, okay, and here's the thing. Yes, here's the thing. He keeps talking about, quote-unquote, corporate trying to shut him down.
Fucking Mark Zuckerberg is going to come down and tell him how to do his shit.
Andrew Garfield is going to march himself up to Tommy Wiseau's face and tell him to lawyer up, asshole.
Tommy, the shareholders are... the shareholders of this morgue!
And that's not just one line. Like, later on, like, the crux of the movie is that Greg Sestero steals Tommy's gold teeth, like, the dental scrap that he collects from his... From the corpses, he steals that and he like Googles where do I sell dental scrap and finds like a shady like dental scrap broker.
Wait, does he actually Google it? He doesn't.
Yes, like... he goes to the library. No, here's the thing. Greg Sestero's is a drifter who owns a jacket that is better than any other jacket that I own.
Nice.
And Tommy Wiseau picks him off the street after like asking him, "What are you doing standing around like the Statue of Liberty?"
Yeah, that I saw that. That was in the trailer. That was beautiful. Yeah.
And so, like, he's a drifter, and so he takes it, like, the thing is that he's, like, taking advantage of the person who's taking him in, and he feels guilty, so he brings Tommy Wiseau into the scheme, and the guy that comes over to, like, kind of not case the place, but look at what they have to offer in terms of dental scrap, which is apparently boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes and boxes of teeth, just so many, to the point where, like...
Woof.
There's like this B plot that goes unremarked, like it's unremarked on in this particular volume of the movie. We'll get to that. We'll put a pin on volume of the movie. But there are posters or photographs of someone kneeling down in the Crusades, and it is somewhat implied that Tommy Wiseau is maybe an immortal being who perhaps was alive in the time of the Crusades, maybe, because there's like a couple of flashbacks to the. Like the medieval times, maybe. And my voice is gonna keep getting higher because I don't know. Like Tommy, it's not.
Tommy, you can't reveal your secret.
And that's the other thing, like, because people
they're not ready. They're not ready.
Like, I don't know if this is like some sort of meta commentary on like the mythologization of Tommy Wiseau. The concept of the Wiseau?
Greg Sestero is smart enough to play on that.
I guess. I don't know much about Greg Sestero. I didn't actually read the book, so maybe.
I read the book cover to cover. Fucking wild.
Okay, well, then there you go.
He's definitely capable.
There are shades of that, and I don't know if maybe Brenda and I read too much into it, but like they're literally, like, I don't want to misrepresent this. At some point in the movie, Brenda turned over to me, and she was like, "Are they insinuating that Tommy Wiseau's character is a former crusader in the middle of this, like, because it's in the middle of the talk where they're discussing like whether or not they're going to go into the business with the shady gold man who's going to sell their dental scrap for them."
Can I just say every time you bring up like the gold and like them selling it, this sounds like Pan's Labyrinth too. This sounds like Del Toro's fever dream. Like he wishes he could come up with something this good.
Keeping the Del Toro streak alive, baby.
The gold man.
And so when the shady gold man first arrives, Tommy Wiseau asks him if he's a corporate spy. Like if he's a spy from corporate. So this is not, this is something that is repeated in the movie. Like, God. I don't know if either Tommy Wiseau has lines that he's not saying, or if he does have lines that he's saying, and Greg Sestero believes that corporate is I don't know what he thinks is federally regulated and privately regulated, or I don't know how he thinks corpses are handled, basically.
Tommy, it's me, Jeff Bezos. You gotta shut it down.
You gotta shut it down, baby. Shut it all down.
We're buying out this morgue, and we're gonna start.
I don't know if it's like, if we're supposed to like think of it as like, they're trying to shut down the community center. They're trying to shut down Tommy Wiseau's morgue.
This is like, yeah, this is like, we need to like win the breakdancing competition so
yeah,
we can
exactly.
raise money to keep the rec center open.
Exactly. Like, I don't know if that's what they're trying to, like, yeah, that's very confusing. Like, it's probably, again, it's probably not going to be like what most people pick up on in the movie, because there's just so many other things to, like, maybe the crusader element of it. But I every single time that it happened, I was just blown away. It's a movie and a half, but also it's only half a movie because it's volume one of two.
Ooh,
and here it ends on the biggest cliffhanger you could possibly imagine, to the point where it's like, did they run out of money? Like, and here's the thing, they did. I promise you that's what had to have happened.
I mean,
there
is a release date for volume two.
Oh yeah, no, they promise, like, it's a June, like at the end of it. They did a Metal Gear Solid 5 one. they did a chapter 2 trailer, and that's where the wheels spun the fuck right off. Like, it went into like surrealist montage territory for chapter 2.
Tommy Wiseau is like in a helicopter and he's like, "Brother."
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's volume 2. Oh boy. And we kept getting assaulted with after credits thing. Like, the chapter 2 shit happens, and they like put up the release date for it, June 2018, and then they gave us the Red Bull Diaries of behind the making of Best Friends, which is Tommy like giving us some quips here and there, and then they gave us a music video screening of Scary Love by The Neighborhood, but it was a music video starring Tommy Wiseau, and it was like a cyberpunk thing.
Yeah, and you sent me that. And
I sent that to you because I needed someone else to see it to make sure that I wasn't going crazy.
And boy howdy, I mean, it's not often that people sort of roll the red carpet out for Tomboy. There was that Joker thing that they did. They really just let him go ham on that. And now this, like, even under like ideal conditions, ideal circumstances, wind is calm, clear skies, shoot for the moon, he just cannot put together like something that is like, okay, this is exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be a creepy, foreboding cyberpunk vampire presence who is tortured by love and the human condition. He talks through the music video, like just normal talk over the track.
Over the track.
And they let him do that.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
And also his costume, it looks like, I get that it's supposed to be cyberpunk, but what he's doing is not cyberpunk. What he's doing is he's gotten like some of that space age tinfoil blanket that astronauts use, cut a hole in it, put it over himself like a poncho, and then also put on a $15 spiked wrist cuff from Hot Topic.
He looks the part, though. Look, if you told me that this is what, like, people in the Shadowrun universe, like, consume, I'd buy it.
I guess.
But yeah, no, I totally get what you're saying. Like, he can't even sit still in a chair and look and brood. Like,
yeah.
He has to, like, make weird faces at the camera to let us know that he's going through some shit, and then yell at us.
And also, on top of that, can I say, there's a lot of love in that video. Because at one point, the hostess that's serving him serves him his signature IRL in real life, like in the meat space, Tommy Wiseau's signature drink, which is a glass of hot water that he never drinks.
Yeah.
That's documented. That's in the book. I read it.
I saw that. I caught it, and I didn't understand it. Now I understand it because
it's a reference. It's a deep Tommy Wiseau cut.
I wonder if he was aware of it.
Fans who really love Tommy Wiseau, apparently.
I wonder if he thought twice about it. I wonder if if the production crew was like, yeah, just serve him hot water and see where that goes, and he just didn't remark on it at all.
That's almost certainly what happened.
Yeah, I want to say that's exactly what happened. It's weird, and I really need to contextualize this for you so you understand just how baffling this experience was. We watched Best Fiends, then we got the trailer for Volume 2 of Best Fiends, then we got the Red Bull Diaries of the making of Best Fiends, then we had this music video for Scary Love immediately after the Red Bull Diaries for the making of Best Fiends. Then we had a Red Bull Diaries of the making of Scary Love, the music video.
Boy, that's a lot of...
Is not prepared for that amount of Wiseau.
What is left for the Blu-ray home release?
Exactly. We just got all of it.
You got all of it, huh? Kevin Feige, maybe an uncredited co-producer credit on this one.
Fuck my ass, dude.
Wow. That's too much.
It's entirely too much. I hope I covered most of it. I don't think I'm missing anything else from The Best Fiends.
I mean, you've covered it more than... I don't see how any reasonable person could do anything other than stop this podcast right now and go torrent Best Fiends.
Yeah, please don't give them money.
Go, if you must, go stream Scary Love on Spotify.
On the YouTube.
Yeah, add that to your queue. But don't.
It's pretty good, actually. I like listened to the song. I was like listening to the. I was like, "Hey, this is pretty good." And I had it. It was weird because I think they're really popular.
That's probably the worst thing about it is that I couldn't shut it off because I was enjoying the music so much. He started talking over it, and I was like, "Tommy, leave me alone, Tommy."
Also, I cannot fucking believe that the fucking Imagine Dragons guy composed this music for the film.
He's the drummer.
Oh my god! And it was so bad, Juan.
Which means something in Imagine Dragons.
It was so. Oh yeah. Shit! I never even thought about that.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I hate this movie.
Yep.
I hate this movie so much. I hate that I have to talk about it, but we do. We must talk about this movie. I guess. And I hate that it is going to probably make people want to go watch it, maybe, but don't.
Hey, if we don't talk about it, who will?
Who will? If you must go watch Best Fiends, I guess do that to yourself, but know that you don't have to. I did it so that you don't have to.
Practice self-care.
Yeah. Just go watch just go watch something else. Just go watch Guillermo del Toro's Best Friends.
Do you have... Hey, Scabby, it's me, your co-host. I'm definitely still on this call with you, and we're recording together, and I'm not adding anything in post-production. Hey, do me a favor. If you support us just sort of skipping a segment today and heading straight into fine art, give me a slightly protracted, upwardly inflecting, all right.
All right.
Give him a shake. And just beat the devil out of him. That's when you find out who your friends are.
In the spirit of April Fools, of April the 1st, the day of fools, the day of boo-boos, we were thinking about discussing our favorite April Fools gags, seeing as people take it upon themselves, journalists in general, take it upon themselves to lie on this day as a gag.
Yep.
They're just like, that oath I took, wouldn't it be funny if I just put it in the trash can for a day?
Just for a day.
And fill young impressionable teens with heads with lies and deceit and crush their hopes and dreams. So this is definitely favorite April Fool's gags in quotation marks.
Yeah,
because I felt this one in my heart when I was a kid. Mine, I'll start off because I think I have one in the chamber. I want to say it was GameSpot, but I cannot say with any amount of certainty. The gag in question. This was a couple of months, I guess, after Super Smash Bros. Melee had come out for the Nintendo GameCube. Very popular fighting game that kind of really rose to prominence in its second installment.
Not enough characters.
Sure, and you say that. My young self would have agreed. My young self probably would have said that, like, the one thing missing from such a cast of iconic and not so iconic characters, the only one missing was maybe the blue hedgehog himself. The Sonic the Hedgehog would have been a fantastic fit for Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Woof.
And this magazine, it promised me that if I beat 100 wireframes in Cruel Melee,
yeah,
I would unlock Sonic as a character. Really, I don't know why you would do this to a young person. I don't know, like,
how you would...
To a young Sonic lover, 69.
Big Jaleel White poster in your room.
Yeah. I don't know why you would look at a child and look into their eyes and see their love of Sonic and go, like, I'm going to take advantage of that. That one hurt. Okay?
Truly, it was the Shang Long of your generation.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Sonic and Melee is the Shen Long. Yeah, that makes sense.
I bet that hurt so bad that by the time Sonic actually did come around...
No, it was not. It just opened up old wounds. Like, I had like some psychic scar that I wasn't aware of when I watched the, like, reveal trailer for Sonic in Brawl.
Yeah.
And, like, I just, like, winced. It was completely, like, an involuntary response. It was an involuntary response. And I just, like, winced. And I didn't know why. And...
Too little, too late, Sakurai.
Yeah.
And a single tear rolled down your cheek.
No, it wasn't that. It was, you're too slow.
That's a bummer. Yeah. I had one.
It was.
I had one. I actually have not fallen to any major, like, I've seen all those pranks, but, like, I've never made myself vulnerable to disappointment. I guess.
Well, lucky you.
So I had to look one up, and I'm so glad that we're talking about Sonic, because mine is also Sonic-related.
Are you serious?
On April 1st, 2016, by the way, at 5 in the morning, which, like, are you okay, Sonic the Hedgehog Twitter? Like, it's 5. Anyway.
Yeah.
A tweet says...
They were too fast. Maybe that's the joke.
Yeah, they were too fast on this one. The tweet says, announcing... Big's Big Fishing Adventure 3, : the trial. Play it now.
Oh,
and then
that's
there's a
good.
And then there's a link, a hyperlink to a domain. The domain is bigthek.at. So already that's pretty good. And if you follow that, it takes you to a custom website advertising Big's Big Fishing Adventure 3. I appreciate this a lot, because this is the most lovingly detailed hoax ever. Like, it looks like it was designed by whoever did the Sonic Adventure 2 graphic design. Okay, it's not a real game, right? But what it is, like, a vehicle for, like, fake tracks from the OST for this fake game. So right now, if you hit up...
Is this somebody's SoundCloud project?
Yes, it literally... Okay, here's the nav bar. About, videos, SoundCloud, the trial. You can go to SoundCloud right now and look up the OST for Big's Big Fishing Adventure 3.
Okay, that's Sega's, fucking wild, actually.
Sega's opus. And also, there's another thing that you can click on where it's like, the trial. And if you click on it, it will take you to what they say is like a beta of like the actual game. A trial version of the game was released on April 1st, boasting a unique branching story and gameplay back when we were initially developing the game.
Branching story.
And if you click the link, it takes you to, like, a flash window. And the first thing it throws up is, like, an old fucking silhouette of, like, I guess it's a Sega Genesis controller? I don't know. I've never seen one in real life, but it's nothing I've ever fucking seen. It's pretty wild. I haven't gotten that far into it, because I don't frankly have the patience to, like, indulge this goof. But it literally just looks like a visual novel starring Big the Cat.
Oh, wow.
And it's...
When was this?
2016.
Wow, that's advanced.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's very ahead of its time.
Advanced goof right there. I would play that.
Log on today. Bigthek.at.
That's a really good domain. I would totally play that, actually. I would play what do you think would be the like moral decisions that Big the Cat would have to make in his fishing adventure?
Use worm as bait. Use
chow.
Chow as bait.
The fish are crazy about them, but at what cost? Big, what did you do with it? The chow garden? Chuckles to himself.
No, you have to do it. I'm sorry, you have to do that in a big voice.
I don't know what a big. I don't know what Big's the Cat sounds like anymore.
The Chow Guy.
Chow Guy.
That's literally what he sounds like in DS. Froggy. What's up with that voice?
I don't know.
I think I might cut it a little short today, just due to scheduling issues. Okay. You know, because it's also Easter, right. The day of our Lord.
Right. Big the Cat.
Yep. And the final prank that we're pulling on everyone is that I am going to say goodbye to everyone today. And thank you for listening to our podcast. Podcast will never help you. Not affiliated with the Genuine Estate, the first ever podcast in recorded history. Oh, wait. Actually, I have one more prank. And that is that I did not write a joke for this week.
I have one.
So I'm going to... No, but I'm gonna do one now because the joke is that they're gonna have to suffer through a bad one now.
No, don't do that one. Don't tank the quality of our content just out of a feeling of obligation.
Our content can take the hit.
It's Are you sure? Good. I feel like it's okay.
Actually, you know what? No, I've got a good one.
You have a good one? A banger?
Yeah. Yep. Aomori o dete minami e 500 dai no kuruma ga demasu. 500 dai no kuruma ga Tokyo kara kitai iku. 彼らはどこで会うのですか?仙台!
Okay.
That one's good.
You did it.
I like that one.
You did it. You know, it's clever. I just feel bad laughing about it. Because it's there. The joke is there. It's present.
It's a joke.
You're right. It meets that lofty standard, but
the win conditions have been met.
Yeah, exactly. But did we want to win? Is the question I would pose, I guess.
That's the joke, right?
That's
there
the joke. All right, so that's it for the show. And you could find us wherever you want to find us. Celestial W Trash at Twitter is where you could find me, Scavvy. You could also find me at on Tumblr at a song of Ice and Fire Pro Wrestling. That's my Tumblr URL. And you could find us at PWNHY at Twitter. Yep. And
and they can find me. Go out into your yard. If you look just closely enough, you'll see a little painted egg. And in there, that's
where you are, in the egg.
Yep.
Listening to podcasts.
Sayonara.
Bye.